Quest Oracle Community proudly presents the PeopleSoft Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production. Hosted by PeopleSoft users Stephen Valentine, Senior Director of Quality Assurance at the Milton Hershey School, and Brooke Repine, a PeopleSoft Business Systems Analyst with Samaritan's Purse. This podcast explores and showcases how PeopleSoft customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success. Welcome to today's episode of the PeopleSoft Connection podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Brooke Repine, and joining me always is my other co-host, Stephen Valentine. Today, we have a special guest on our show that we're super excited about. Valencia Borders is a director in Enterprise Business Systems Group with a focus on financial systems from Mantech International. We are thrilled to have you on the podcast. We learned a little bit about some of the way you guys are innovating at Mantech International, and we're super excited to chat about that today and kind of share that with our listeners. But to give our listeners a little bit of context, can you start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and your current position?
Thanks, Brooke. I have been in the software implementation world for probably over 30 years now. And the primary software that I've been dealing with is PeopleSoft, Oracle and PeopleSoft product suite. So I worked for PeopleSoft for about 7 years. And in the transition when they were being taken over by Oracle, that's when I decided to leave PeopleSoft. And I did some independent work and then did consulting for about 7 or 8 years. And then decided to join Mantech. I first joined Mantech actually as a consultant working on their 9-2 financials implementation. So I was at Mantech for about 2 or 3 years. And then I transitioned into being an employee in my current role as director on the financial business systems area. I have a team of 8 people, and the systems that we support, PeopleSoft being the primary system that drives Mantech's financial area, but we do have Oracle Hyperion and the enterprise data management system as well, and an accounts reconciliation system for Mantech.
That's great. I also worked with PeopleSoft back in the late 90s, so I'm sure you remember the 8.2 screens and all that fun stuff. So it's exciting to talk to someone who remembers what that was like. Can you talk a little bit about Mantech International, what you guys do and about the company?
Well, Mantech, we are primarily a defense contractor, and we operate in the federal DoD as well as civilian agency space. Our objective is to provide those innovative, advanced technology solutions to our clients. We do cybersecurity, AI support, custom system development. So we're at the leading edge of technology and delivering solutions to our customer. We're a company of about 9,500 people, and we continue to grow in that space. And we just have a lot of different areas of support that we're supporting our customers with.
Wow, that's great. The premise of our podcast is really around modernizing our technology, and you guys seem to really be focused on modernizing technology and also working on PeopleSoft, which is really exciting. Can you talk about the modules that you currently
use? Yes, we have about 10 modules that we have implemented. We have accounts payable, accounts receivable, GL modules. We have procurement, e-procurement. We have supplier portal. So we have an outward-facing portal for our suppliers to register. We have procurement as well. And then as a government contractor, we definitely have the contracts, projects, billing type of modules, asset management, and inventory.
I think we're using all of those too. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I heard you say that, Mantech, one of your missions or your goals is to innovate and deliver advanced technology to your clients. I think that's excellent. That's right in line with the goals of this podcast, right? Is to talk about how people are innovating with their PeopleSoft product. And can you tell us a little bit about that process? What does that look like for ManTech? How do you keep up with the functionality that's available to you for PeopleSoft? And how do you decide to innovate?
Well, first of all, we have made a strategic decision with our PeopleSoft application to be no further than 3 releases behind. So that forces us to be on the leading edge and making sure that we can take advantage of what Oracle, their PeopleSoft team, is pushing out to us. So from a executive management point of view, that really aligns with that advanced technology. And alongside that, with my team, our core strategic vision is, as we are implementing these latest and greatest PUM releases, that we are turning on things. So we're not just implementing PUM to say we're in PUM. We're actually taking on and implementing some of the newer features, even if it stretches us. I have a great team that's comprised of both business analysts and developers, and we are always pushing ourselves to implement new technology within the application for our internal customers.
I think that is a great goal, to stay not more than 3 releases behind. I'm curious, how do you find what's available and how do you pick what to turn on with the new releases?
We listen to our internal customers. So, for example, we, like many people that are in my position, they have asks that come from our end users. And for example, I know at the latest PUM release, we had an ask for in the travel area to make it more user-friendly. There were some things that had integration with Google Maps that from a compliance perspective, they were looking for us to put in the project. So we listened to our internal customers, as well as we're very hooked into Oracle and the support groups, the quest groups that are out there, to see what our counterparts are doing. So we definitely like to stay on top of that just to make our users more productive and, you know, deliver that value.
I'm glad you mentioned Quest, because in addition to focusing on modernizing our environments, we also focus on the benefits of user community and just really helping people understand how important it is to reach out to the user groups that are out there, get to know each other, and share information. So that's something I'm glad that you guys are doing that and taking advantage of that as well.
Yes, most definitely.
How do you, as an organization, stay connected with Quest? Is it kind of informal? Do you have people that have specific responsibilities to stay connected in their module? And the same with the new functionality that Oracle is providing. Do you direct your team members who might be in a certain module to keep up with that on their own? And that's kind of how that works. I'm just kind of curious how you guys do that as an organization.
We are connected into Quest, and we do have members of our team. So we have a business analyst and a developer paired up by area. And so that business analyst and developer, they're sort of like a mini team, and they are connected into some of the Quest user groups. So that's how they're getting their information. I love the Oracle support site, and some of those mini teams that I have leveraged that Oracle support site to see what's coming and available. And actually, YouTube is also a great avenue that I have some of the individuals on my team that's always looking at that, looking at what's new. I challenge my team to come to the table with what is new out there, and let's put it on our internal roadmap of that particular functionality to be implemented.
Yeah, I really love that, actually. And I heard you say earlier that you guys push yourselves to go out of your comfort zone and stay challenged. And so I really love how you guys are embracing that in your organization. And if you have any tips for our listeners on how you go about doing that, love to hear your insight.
Well, I think at the core of human nature, especially in the area that we work with, when you have developers and even analysts in the software area, they are looking to what's new. I mean, even if it may just be for their own personal growth, right? We are bombarded out there in the media with, okay, what's new? So I just take from that and I challenge, again, it's a challenge to my team to say, just for your own personal career growth, you need to be up to date on the latest and greatest. So I find that even across my team, it doesn't matter what age category that they're in, that using that as a motivator. I know the company I work for is really good at challenging us to learn new things. So it's really a corporate value system to say, don't just work a job, stay comfortable in what, always seek to learn new things. So I think that's the mandate that we have at an executive level in our company. And I just take that and run with it at my level in my group as well.
I think that's great because I read that PeopleSoft is now out to 2036. And what I'm reading is PeopleSoft's not going to go away, but we're going to learn other cloud technologies might be integrated with PeopleSoft or other tools. So it is important to stay on top of what's out there. It's important to stay on top of what PeopleSoft is doing. And when companies like you take advantage of the functionality of PeopleSoft, that I believe encourages Oracle to do more, to invest more. It also helps make the product better because I know I'm always at conferences and they're always asking what's missing, what can we do better? So just by taking advantage of that and implementing, you're helping all the other customers as well. So I applaud you for that.
So we've just plunged in, whether it's fluid work centers, whether it's activity guides, search framework, we just plunge in and learn about it. And having the different environments, the sandbox and those types of demo environment just helps to figure out sort of how to configure it behind the scenes.
That's awesome. I love your enthusiasm. And let's dive into how you're pushing the envelope with PeopleSoft. So ManTech, I understand, is leveraging fluid work centers. Yeah. And I'd love to chat a little bit about that. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that project, how you've implemented the Fluid Work Centers, kind of how you're innovating with the Fluid Work Centers?
We did an upgrade from 9.2, I think it was PUM 9 to PUM 31 back in 2020. And that's when we sort of embraced work centers in general. And even though they were the classic ones now that they're referred to, we embraced it. And at that time, we said, listen, we're going to provide this tool, which is configurable from a BA perspective, for our users to be able to have a one-stop place for everything. And so we started it, and we've just built upon it in the last few years to expand it to fluid work centers. And the catalyst for expanding it to fluid work centers is even in the classic work centers, we had to build sort of plugins for approval. We did like the pagelets and different things so people can click on it and see what's in their approval queue. But with fluid, it's automatically integrated with the fluid approvals. So it was sort of like a no-brainer, especially with our PUM 50 release, to say people are already used to work centers. And truly, in the finance area, work centers is part of the vocabulary. Whether it's an accountant, they have a GL work center. So to take that leap with fluid, the driver was more putting the approvals, the fluid approvals, as part of the work center. So truly, they really have a one-stop place. They don't have to even go out of their work center to approve transactions, to run queries, to go to different pages. So that was the driver, is more to get those approvals connected. And I know in the upcoming release, they'll implement the insights dashboards as part of the work center, the Fluid Work Center. So right now, I was trying to count it up. We probably have 10 work centers for each of our areas. And we use that with homepages. So we have the Fluid homepages. So it's not only the work centers, but if they have external applications that they need to access as well, the homepages is there with the different tiles. So it's just a matter of, again, making it easier for our users.
How did you manage change with that when you went from Classic to Fluid? Did people embrace that, or did you feel like there was some challenges with change in that?
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, because we, with PUM 50, we had we call them project control resources, which basically Mantech is a project-based organization, and the project control analyst is really that financial manager for projects. And we had a Classic, we called it PCA Work Center, where they went and they did all of their work from the Classic. And with PUM 50, which we just went live with in February, we said, we're going to change that to a Fluid Work Center. So we leveraged the delivered Oracle Fluid Projects Work Center. And up to implementation, I mean, the look and feel is different. The links are still the same, but our users, our business process owner in that area was like, well, let's keep both of them available just for that transition. And we convinced them, you know, it's the same link, you have approvals there. So it makes your life even easier. So what we did, because change is hard and there is a process, so we kept both of them for a couple of months. Recently, we got a request to turn the other one off, the old one.
From the end users.
Like, this is, yeah. Yes, from the end users. So to your point, I think it sells itself. So when you have that community of users that may be a little resistant, it's flexible enough to say, we're going to keep both versions on, the Classic and the Fluid, and it sells itself. So pretty soon they will be like, let's turn that Classic off and keep the Fluid.
So tell us a little bit more about the functionality within the Fluid Work Center that you implemented. So I think you're using related content within the Work Center as well. Is that correct?
Yes, we are using related content. So we have a Project Manager Work Center. So in that case, they have their approvals, whether it's the ESPRO timesheets that they're doing, expenses that they have to approve, requisitions. So we're leveraging that Fluid approvals, but then related content is leveraged. So just in case they have to make a decision, they can go out to another page in PeopleSoft, another Fluid page, to get whether it's information, financial information on a project, whether it's a related content document for expense policies. So we are leveraging that as well. And then, of course, we have traditional link section and reports and queries. We also have some dashboards that are linked into our Fluid Work Centers as well. So the goal and the objective is to have a one place stop. And people, we do get requests very often where people are like, oh, can you add this link to our work center? We have given the ability for users to customize their own work center. Okay. And initially when we rolled out, we said, no, what you see is what you get, because we didn't want people to go down that path of asking questions and putting in tickets because their work center wasn't like their counterpart.
That's different, but, right, yeah.
Yeah, but again, with technology, we all have smartphones and we all know how to download those apps and put our smartphone in the look and feel the way we want to. So we said, you know what, let's roll out the ability for users to customize their work center. So
has that presented any challenges as far as troubleshooting or production support?
No, actually, I thought it would. When we rolled that out, because that was something we just did, and we did training We had documentation. We have all of that support. So I do think people have picked it up pretty quickly.
I know when we upgraded to Fluid, we had a long discussion about letting people customize their own tiles or not. And the biggest concern about it was people would lose their tiles and call the help desk and say they can't find their tiles. So we opted to let people do it. And then if it became a problem, we would reconsider. But it hasn't been a problem.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. People know how to use smartphones. They're pretty intuitive and they seem to understand it well.
I like that philosophy where you roll it out and wait and see. And if it becomes an issue, kind of pivot then. I'm happy to hear you report that it hasn't been an issue thus far. That's encouraging because I, like you, my initial thought was, ooh, that sounds like that could cause some challenges when troubleshooting or doing production support. So very encouraging. Thank you.
So when you rolled out your work centers, I know Oracle's going in the path. It seems that we're having BSAs be able to do things and not rely so much on technical support. So is that something that your BSAs could do, or did you still need a good amount of technical support with that?
Well, definitely for the delivered work centers, the Fluid work centers that Oracle delivers, it's all BAs. So BAs deal with their users and adding if they want a query that's added for everyone to use, that's a BA thing. However, we did with Pump 50 roll out custom Fluid work centers. So that does entail some development work, and I call it building the container. And Oracle is really good at providing instructions where that container for the Fluid work center has to be built in AppDesigner. But the nice thing is you can copy. So what we literally did is we took like the contracts Fluid work center, which is really that container, and we copied it and save as, because that really builds those sort of buckets where you have the my work and the links and the queries. And our developers got really savvy with that. And once they were able to do that, then the BA took over for all of the enterprise components configuration. We have, even in my work, had the developers create custom my work app packages so that people are able to see specific things, different alerts that they need to be aware of. So we have had the developer develop those custom app packages from my work, and then the BA takes it from there, actually configuring it onto the work center.
What about your dashboards that are within the work center? Similar question, is that taken a lot of help from your tech team as well, or has the business analyst been able to really help define the dashboard criteria to get it to where you need it for your work centers?
Really, the BAs handle a lot of that. Now, if we still have a classic work center, there's some areas where Oracle doesn't deliver the Fluid yet. So I know in travel and expenses, we still have the classic because there's just a lot of things going on. The BAs, they build those dashboards and they're able to do, whether it's the pivot grids or the pagelets that say the information, and then they build the dashboard and then they link it into the classic work center through a link on the work center. So a user, and then they can decide if they want that dashboard to be the main starting page. So when they access the work center, they see the results of that dashboard. So the BAs pretty much handle that from the queries behind the grids and pagelets. The BAs develop that to the actual dashboards themselves.
So it sounds like this is awesome, and I'm so excited that we're talking about this. So when you think about our users, do you have any words of wisdom for our users on why they should implement work centers, and maybe even some lessons learned, and maybe a challenge on why not, right?
when you look at any software, including PeopleSoft, to do your work, you're going to have a lot of different clicks. You're going to use that navigation bar. It's much easier and now in the newer releases, but you're going to be navigating all over PeopleSoft. So the why is, why not have one place that in the morning when you log into PeopleSoft, you see everything that you have to do in one place? So you see if you have to approve a transaction, if you have to run a report, if you have to run a query. You have links to the pages that you would go to. So that is really the ROI, I would say, for implementing work centers. It just saves time.
I think that it was very well put the way you said it, less clicks. And I think that's what's important. We're all being asked to do more with less. That's just the story of the times. And anytime we can remove clicks, remove steps, remove inefficiencies, I think we have some form of obligation to do that. So I applaud you again for doing that. Can you talk about maybe any other new innovations that you've recently done or you're thinking about doing?
We have started implementing page and field configurator. So we're sort of going down that enterprise components menu, I say. I tell my team, I say, look at that enterprise components and see what's there. We have guided setup in some areas as well. So we're just taking our time going through all of that down that path.
That's great. I love that you guys are going down through the enterprise components menu and kind of making sure that you're utilizing all the functionality within there. We're also using page and field configurator in my organization. And I think it's great as a BSA, being able to go in, make changes to a field label, disable a field, hide a field, and be able to do it without a developer's help. So I think that's a great piece of functionality that Oracle has rolled out to us to use.
Yeah, that was a life changer. And we've been able to get rid of some customizations because of that.
That's excellent. That's even better. Mm-hmm.
We're on Pump 48 and we're upgrading in 2 weeks. So I'm very excited.
You've encouraged
me on some things that we need to look at. So thank you.
So circling back around to the Work Center, you guys also are incorporating alerts and notifications in your Fluid Work Center. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. So we have both custom alerts that we needed the developers to help us out with, but we have the delivered alerts. And actually, for our, we call them shared services areas, where they're really working on behalf of other organizations and supporting, that helps them a lot. We have a lot of alerts in the project setup area. So if something is missing something, so they need to be alerted that, hey, this is missing, a customer is missing a build to address or something is in that invalid. So that helps that team correct it so that it's not an error down the line.
So I have another question. Talk about timing. Like, how long did it take for this process when you're thinking about implementing the Fluid Work Centers or certain functionality? It sounds like you guys are really good at adopting changes and new functionality and moving forward. So I'm just curious, based on, you know, how many people you have on your team, how long it kind of takes you to roll out these features that you guys work on.
The Fluid Work Centers that we did with PUM 50, we did it as part of the project. So the project was probably about a 6-month upgrade project from start to finish. But actually turning on a Fluid Work Center does not take that much time. So if it's a delivered Fluid Work Center, it's really the configuration. So it's really the time getting with the users, deciding what things they would like to see on their Work Center. But the actual configuration piece is very quick. Now, you do have to test, and Oracle does have a migration tool that you can migrate Work Centers, which is great, from environment to environment. So that helps tremendously. So you're not configuring it in one environment and having to configure it again. But I would say the actual configuration of a delivered Fluid Work Center, you can probably implement fairly quickly. I would say maybe a month or two to just get from start to finish the testing and everything else, if more like a month. Now, custom Fluid Work Centers, which we do have, and that takes a little bit longer because there is that development component of it in App Designer. But Work Centers, as delivered, my advice would be if you are new to Work Centers, leverage, start with the delivered ones. So start with the areas that are delivered, which are in like your general ledger, your accounts receivable, your projects, those areas, accounts payable. Leverage that first, which are configuration based, and then build on it.
I'm curious, Valencia, what are some takeaways that you're thinking you wanted to give out in the podcast that you haven't been able to express yet with the listeners?
Well, I mean, a takeaway that I would like to tell users is embrace the delivered technology that's within the Oracle PeopleSoft product. Being a user of the product for many, many, many years, there's a lot of things that are delivered that you can just take your time. Just do a roadmap. I tell my team that you have your software companies like Oracle that have their own product strategy areas and they have a roadmap. And I said, in our ecosystem, our little ManTech ecosystem, we also have to have a roadmap. So we also have to have a plan of what things we're going to play around with and to know. And as we started off the podcast saying, you know, there are different tools out there, whether it's Quest and YouTube and Oracle support and all of that, and even ChatGPT these days that can give you some ideas of what's new. Start with that, getting a plan together and talking to your users, and things like Work Centers, those are things that are low-hanging fruit, but it's not going to involve huge customizations or huge buy-ins. It's one of those things that you can roll that out fairly quickly and have users start using it and get that return and then build on from there. So you don't have to start off with implementing 10 Work Centers. Just start off with one and then build on from there.
I love you reminding us about YouTube, PeopleSoft Info, and even ChatGPT. I agree. There's just some great ways just to learn more about what you can use. And then also, we've talked about the Quest community group, and that's out there. But I'm really happy to hear that you guys have embraced the system and are really trying to use it to the best of your ability. I mean, it's exciting that people are still investing into the system too and still trying to make it work for them.
Yeah, we're really passionate here on the podcast about leveraging insights and knowledge of those who have gone before us in the PeopleSoft community. And we really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today and hope that we've inspired our listeners, if they aren't already using Fluid Work Centers, to take a look at them. And I appreciate what you said, Valencia, about just start small. You don't have to start with 10 Work Centers. Starting with one and getting started is really the key, right?
I have a great team that is willing to go along on the journey with me. So having a team of motivated individuals and a management team that supports you goes a long way to just making that initial start.
A takeaway I have today from our discussion is just start small. Start with one delivered Fluid Work Center, and that makes it feel doable. I really appreciate all your insight today, Valencia. Thank you so much for joining us. We really hope that this conversation and hearing from you today sparks some ideas for our listeners in their own PeopleSoft product, and I hope they're encouraged to roll out at least one Fluid Work Center if they haven't already. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the PeopleSoft Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/PSFT connection. To learn more about what's happening in the Quest PeopleSoft community, visit our website, questoraclecommunity.org/PeopleSoft-community.